Back in the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna. Anna, I've been promising them that I'm going to say some controversial things in the second hour. So buckle up, brace for impact.
Even when you don't think you're saying controversial things, people think you are. So it doesn't, you know.
Yes, on the right, the left, and everywhere in the middle. Okay, Daniel Pareja writes in, hashtag TUIT live. I'm surprised Trump didn't make Conway write those signs in crayon. The Mad Lib writes in, Macron's ratings just went down now that Trump has expressed a desire to come back to Paris. Sabrina Hartman says about Macron's wife, she should have just slapped his hand away like Melania does, LOL. And then finally, Derek Martin says, the DNC won't pick Sanders or Warren, they're too obvious and might actually lead to victory. Agreed. There was an article by Matt Iglesias in Vox last week where he wrote, you know what, maybe Bernie.
And really?
And it was considered like, he was writing it like, I know no one in the world has thought of this. Like, I know this is a crazy idea, but wait a minute. I looked at the polling and he's the top, like most popular politician in the country, maybe Bernie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not dissing Matt, it was a good article, nothing wrong with it, right? But you could tell from the tone that like in that circle, like that is an outrageous, like almost unthinkable thought that they are now just beginning to consider. And it's kind of spooking them out.
Well, I think everyone unfortunately ends up being a product of their environment and the people that they surround themselves with. And I'm not saying it as if I'm looking at everyone else and judging them. I'm saying that because I think it's even true of people here, right? So it's always important to consider other perspectives as long as there's actual logic behind those perspectives. I never want to fall in the camp of missing something big, like a phenomenon that's happening right in front of me, but I'm missing it because I'm in my own bubble, right?
Yep.
So you should always look at other perspectives.
Yep. And the members of the day are Valerie Johnson and Joseph Fletcher. Guys, a couple of things for you. This month, you get a free trial membership for a whole month, so all the way through the 28th of July, I think. So try that out. Listen to our post games. We had our members could watch the Joe Manchin interview we did earlier in the week live. And I want to tell you guys tomorrow, same kind of situation. We have Keith Ellison who's going to come in and do an interview. He's going to Skype in actually, like Manchin did. And so for all of you members out there, it is going to be live at 10 a.m. Pacific. So 1 o'clock Eastern. 1 o'clock Eastern, Keith Ellison on the Young Turks. So in order to become a member, tytnetwork.com/join. And then you can do promo code free TYT this month to get a free trial membership. So don't miss the Keith Ellison interview live tomorrow.
All right, we ready to start?
Yes.
All right. A couple updates on stories that we reported on earlier. First, an update on the Shia LaBeouf? I keep calling him LaBeouf. I don't know why. It's so weird.
No one knows what it is, but it's definitely not LaBeouf. Although LaBeouf is awesome, and I wish it was LaBeouf. And he is a bit of a LaBeouf.
Okay. Shia LaBeouf has apologized for his behavior after he got arrested for public intoxication in Georgia. Now, this whole situation began when he approached police officers and asked them for a cigarette. That's when words were exchanged and he became so belligerent that police decided to arrest him. And that resulted in a number of videos being released to the public, which showed just how badly he was intoxicated and how badly he was treating the cops. Now, he has released an apology for his behavior, but before I get to that apology, I do want to maybe refresh your memory or show you the video in case you missed the story. Take a look.
Because you're a fucking bitch to the end of your days and you live that legacy. That's what you signed up for, bitch made whore. If I have my gun, I'll blow your shit up. You're a bitch though. Ooh. So you got your shit, you do nothing. Except what, homie? Fucking bitch, coward, fuck you and your legacy. You got a kid? Hoso. Hoso so he can know what the fuck no-so is going. You're a bitch. For leaks. Not for years. A bitch for leaks. You're a pirate bitch. Bitch. And you put your own kind in the fucking pen. For no you're a country. I pay my taxes, you dumb bitch. You about to meet my lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happened. And now he is apologizing, and he posted the following on Twitter. I'm gonna go ahead and read it to you guys. He says, "I'm deeply ashamed of my behavior and make no excuses for it. I don't know if these statements are too frequent or not shared often enough, but I am certain that my actions warrant a very sincere apology to the arresting officers, and I am grateful for their restraint." And they did show a lot of restraint. "The severity of my behavior is not lost on me. My outright disrespect for authority is problematic, to say the least, and completely destructive, to say the worst. It is a new low, a low I hope is a bottom. I have been struggling with addiction publicly for far too long, and I'm actively taking steps towards securing my sobriety, and I hope I can be forgiven for my mistakes." Look, that was a fine apology. I hope he does get help, because he clearly does have some sort of substance abuse problem.
Yeah, so I feel bad saying this, because he almost certainly has substance abuse problems, but I'm not buying that apology at all, not 1%. He did not write a word of that apology. That was PR 101. So things like, "my outright disrespect for authority is problematic." You didn't write that, dude. You're not even sober yet. You didn't write that, okay? No person who's said the things he said there wakes up in the morning and writes that. But even more obvious is, "I am actively taking steps towards securing my sobriety." No person talks like that. PR people talk like that. "I'm taking steps towards securing my sobriety." He didn't write that. So I give him no credit for it at all. If this morning Shia LaBeouf is still saying,
"you're a bitch,"
this PR statement would come out anyway. It would come out in exactly the same words.
Yeah.
So it's, of course it's possible that Shia LaBeouf woke up in the morning and was like, "oh no, what have I done?" Right? And is deeply apologetic.
Yeah.
Or he's not at all apologetic, but we have no idea, because this is not his statement, this is a PR statement.
Right, I think talk is always cheap, and some people got on my case for bringing up his past legal problems. I didn't bring that up simply to antagonize him, right? And to build like a case
against him. Apparently you wouldn't want to do
that. No, well look, the reason why I brought that up is because there is obviously a very clear double standard among those who have resources, like wealth and fame, and those who are powerless. And so he has treated people in power, police, whatever it is, poorly in the past, and he's pretty much gotten away with it. So what makes anyone think that he would change his behavior now? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he has substance abuse issues. He also has affluenza. So yeah. Like, no one who isn't really rich talks to cops like that.
No, of course not. Okay. No, of course not. I mean, we know what happens to anyone who's powerless, who has the audacity to disrespect a cop.
And but the reason I bring that up is to back up what Anna's saying about his history. Because all the rest of us have a history of, if you say something slightly wrong to the cops, there's gonna be hell to pay, right? But his history is, I can say whatever the hell I want to the cops. I can talk about his kids, I can talk about how I'm gonna bring a gun and shoot his head off or whatever. I can call him, the part I dislike the most actually is when he called him his homie. Please spare me.
Or when okay. he said, screw your, what was it? Not legend, your
legacy.
Legacy.
Yeah, he's yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't know what that means, but
yeah,
it seemed
weirdly.
Yeah,
I hope you have a kid like, so you can go so and then know though, or something like some yeah, weird yeah. like so, poetic rhyme in there.
Or not so poetic.
I know, I'm kidding.
I think that legacy thing was weirdly racial, but I'm not sure. I don't really, it's a tiny, tiny portion
of
the story.
He's either drunk or on some sort of substance.
Yeah,
we don't
know.
We're trying to make sense of nonsense, but regardless, yeah. It's clear that he has some sort of problem, and I do hope he gets help for it, right?
Yeah.
And it's a common thing that you see in the celebrity world. And look, during the post-game shows, we talk about the downsides of being a public figure and wealth. And I think that it really messes with some people, right?
Yeah.
And he's a successful actor. I mean, I think he's filming a movie with Brad Pitt right now, or he might have wrapped a movie with Brad Pitt. So he might seem like he's on top of the world, but in reality, like, he has some sort of problem, and it could be tied to the fact that he's a celebrity.
Yeah, and so in order to watch those postgames, by the way, become a member of the Young Turks, tytnetwork.com/join. Secondarily, when I've interviewed celebrities, I think it was Russell Brand, but I'm not sure. But one of those guys, big time guy, said, look, fame doesn't cure anything.
No.
And he said, I thought it would. And it turns out, no, it doesn't fill the hole in your heart. It doesn't help you with anything. It's not a cure. So sometimes it makes it worse. And so, look, bottom line is, I do feel bad for the guy. I'm just telling you the things that are true, which is that he didn't write that statement. But look, he's obviously, like, that dude's got issues. So, and it is, of course, it's a little outrageous and horrific. It's also a little funny. I mean, this is, I mean, come on.
You're a bitch for leaks.
Okay, by the way, I want to thank our audience because a number of you tweeted to me and said he doesn't say leaks, he says leagues.
Yeah. No, I figured that, but I didn't know what he meant by leagues. It means he's talking about nautical leagues.
Like forever, from now on.
That's
why I said legacy too. Your kids and your grandkids, are all going to be horrible forever.
Not for years.
Yeah, so he thinks it's going to be forever. But also, sorry, but this gave me an idea, Cenk, when obviously that was a publicist statement. So there needs to be like someone needs to open another like level of PR. We're like, we take your bullshit PR people with the words that you didn't use, and we'll put it in layman's normal, the way you would say it terms, and it makes more believable.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm opening that firm.
Yeah, they should have a PR agency whose whole job is to make it sound human. Okay, so like what could have helped is if at that statement they added,
you're a pirate bitch.
Then we would have believed it was Shia.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the other news. Another update for you guys. Paul Ryan has decided that maybe, just maybe, it's time to update the House dress code. This was a story last week involving an unidentified journalist who claimed that she was kicked out of the chamber because of the fact that she was wearing a sleeveless dress. Well, that sparked the debate about the dress code that is decades old. And now Paul Ryan says, I don't know, like maybe it's time to update it a little bit. So let me give you the details. The current guidelines allow the House Sergeant at Arms and members of chamber security to restrict access to staff and visitors not wearing appropriate business attire. But they don't define what business attire is. Exactly what constitutes appropriate business attire is not clearly stated. And so it kind of allows people to go ahead and kick mostly women out for nonsense, right? A lot of women wear power dresses, business attire that is sleeveless, and that's just modern times.
So there's the part that people are underplaying is driving me crazy. You're not allowed to have open-toed shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, why? What is that from like the 1800s?
I kind of get that.
Why?
I personally don't care. So I would roll my eyes at that as well. But I don't know. I don't know.
Really? That's not even a thing I realized was an etiquette thing. I had no idea. Like
feet are gross. Let's keep it
real. No. So look, that's why this is totally sexist, if not by intention, but by effect. Because which male reporter or staffer is going to come in a sleeveless shirt? It's preposterous. What are you going to wear, like a wife beater to Congress, right? It's only going to apply to women. And the open toed thing, which nasty dude is going to show up in whatever you show up with, flip flops or whatever, to Congress? But women wear dress shoes that show
their feet all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, they do.
In like
they
the most formal settings.
I'm just saying that in my list of priorities regarding what I would want to change about this dress code, the open-toed shoe thing is the least of my concern, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't bother me either way. So that's just my honest take on it. Now, here's what Paul Ryan has to say about it. He says, in regard to the dress code, this is nothing new and certainly not something that I devised. At the same time, that doesn't mean that enforcement couldn't stand to be a bit modernized. Decorum, this is my favorite part. Oh my God, this is my favorite part. Decorum is important, especially for this institution, and a dress code in the chamber, in the lobby makes sense. Okay, let's just stop right there, come back to us. Decorum is important. Like, I just love that they're talking about etiquette while they rob us blind, right? Yeah, yeah. We get together and talk about how to violate your freedoms, how to give tax cuts and loopholes to the richest people in the country, how to screw over the most disadvantaged. But we just wanna make sure that you cover up your arms, ladies. Proper decorum. Go fuck yourself.
Okay, yeah, that went in the direction I didn't expect. So, but you are right. I mean, they start wars there that they don't need to start. I mean, people die, let alone healthcare, let alone the tax cuts. You know, the top 0.1% are going to get a $940,000 tax cut. Meanwhile, your taxes might go up, okay? But he's worried about decorum.
No, he's talking about decorum, right?
He's talking about decorum.
Okay, the man that you supported, who is currently the president of the United States, bragged about grabbing women by the pussy and moving in on them like a bitch.
I moved in her like a bitch.
And then he said,
"You're a pirate, bitch."
No, that's somebody else.
Okay, I don't know why that part of his quote annoyed me, but it's just like this fake properness, right? Like, let's all pretend like we're proper while we're robbing the American people.
No, no, but that you're absolutely right though, because that is one of the core issues in Washington. You can do and pass the most horrific policies. That's totally okay. But if you are impolite to someone else in the elites, that is considered unacceptable. That's the thing that'll get you railroaded straight out of Washington. He was impolite to one of the elites. How could he? Decorum has been broken. Well, didn't you guys pass the resolution to get us into the Iraq war, and didn't several hundred thousand civilians die because of that? Yes, but we didn't break decorum while we were doing it. I mean, God forbid we should see your arms while we're voting for horrific things. And finally, my random note on it is, it's like, look, in the lobby, we've got to make sure that there's decorum. Well, how are you going to get to your office without passing through the lobby? So any rule that applies to the lobby applies to the whole building. So why bother making that stupid distinction? Because they can't help themselves. They're like, oh, I'm going to do a loophole here. Okay, I love loopholes.
It's just so dumb. Anyway, look, it's important to dress professionally, right? And present yourself professionally, but these outdated dress codes drive me absolutely nuts. There was a story today that we're not gonna cover, but I just wanna quickly mention it because it just amazed me. There was a local news reporter who got a voicemail. She's pregnant, okay? And she wears clothes that fit her and it shows that she's pregnant, but she doesn't dress, she's not scantily clad by any means. And she got a voicemail from a viewer who called her disgusting. And that she should wear clothes that hide the fact that she's pregnant, right? And it sounded like a much older woman. And it's just this old school way of thinking, right? Like, your body is disgusting. You need to completely, especially if you're pregnant, you need to wear a tent, okay? You better cover that up. Just let's get back to the current year, 2017. How about that?
How about that? Okay.
I don't know why I say that so much now. It's crazy. All right.
For leagues.
Not for years. That's my favorite part though. We gotta
include leagues. They got us working around the clock. Anyway.
Anyway.
All right, what's next?
All right. Oh God, I hate this guy a lot. Okay. Representative Steve King was speaking to Allison Camerota on CNN, and they were specifically addressing the fact that the House Appropriations Committee would like to allocate a whopping $1.6 billion to begin construction on the border wall. Now, it's interesting because that money will come from US taxpayers, not from Mexico, as our president promised. And Camerota decided to ask Steve King about it. Do you think it's a good idea to do this? Take a look.
Comfortable, Congressman, with providing $1.6 billion of taxpayer money, not from Mexico, to build that wall?
Absolutely, yes, and more. And I'd throw another $5 billion on the pile, and I would find a half of $1 billion of that right out of Planned Parenthood's budget. And the rest of it could come out of food stamps and the entitlements that are being spread out for people that haven't worked in three generations. We've got to put America back to work. This administration will do it. And we've got to free them up so that they can and support the right agenda for this country.
He's a great pro-life representative, especially considering the fact that the vast majority of people who benefit from these food stamps are actually kids. Let's go to graphic four. More than 40 million Americans receive food stamps, and nearly two-thirds of them are children, elderly or disabled. The average household on food stamps had incomes had an income of less than $10,000 a year. By the way, it's a really interesting conversation when you put everything into context, because his argument is, we gotta build that wall to keep Mexicans out because they're taking all our jobs. While he simultaneously says, oh, look at all these lazy motherfuckers, you know, taking, you know, mooching off the government. You know, they need to go out there and work. Okay, so which one is it? Is it that they can't work because Mexicans are taking their jobs, or is it because they're lazy and they're just taking advantage of the government?
That's a good point. So here's the things that bothered me. They haven't worked in three generations. What do you know, dude? What does that mean? So look, I don't want you to get me wrong. Like, are they? I'm not a naive dude who's like, no, everyone who's ever received government assistance is heavenly and angelic. No, there's some bums. There are. I don't mean homeless people. I mean a bum who sits around and takes it. And so, yeah, is that the majority? No, we just gave you the stats. Two-thirds are kids, elderly or disabled. So, and you don't have any stats to back up your claim that three generations of bums exist and that they are the majority of the people taking food stamps. And who are you calling bums anyway? Because, you know, like, he keeps, like, look, everything Steve King does is racial. You remember when he talked about the Mexicans crossing the border with the cantaloupe calves because they're dragging so much drugs in that their calves grew out of proportion. I mean, this guy's a lunatic when it comes to racial stuff. And he's the one that talked about how they had to maintain white, you know, European ancestry and culture here in America. So the guy is, so when he talks about three generations of people not working, you know who he's talking about. But the reality is, you know who's on food stamps and Medicaid? Interesting stat. One-third of West Virginia is on Medicaid.
Yep.
One-third of West Virginia.
I have to give you the stats on this because it's pretty amazing. So a document circulated on Capitol Hill in May said that a White House budget proposal would slash $193 billion from the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. A CNN analysis, though, found out that of the top 10 places with the largest percentage of residents who use SNAP, seven voted for Trump in the 2016 elections. And so again, we have a chunk of the population here that continuously votes against their best interests. And we have to get to the bottom of why that is. Why is that happening? I mean, obviously there's misinformation, they're being misled, they're being manipulated. And it's frustrating because you try to give evidence and provide information about what's really going on to look out for them. And they reject it as elitist propaganda. And it's like, no, what you've bought into is the propaganda.
Well, part of the problem is that progressives actually care about Americans. So
yes.
if progressives are as cold and calculating as Republicans are, they'd go, oh, you want a Trump? Great, that's it, we're cutting food stamps in all the places. And yeah, that's gonna hurt some of our constituents, but it's gonna hurt your constituents way worse. So let West Virginia for once feel the consequence of voting for a Republican. You know, West Virginia had the second biggest margin for Trump out of any state in the country. They had a 42-point margin for Trump. Okay, well, Trump and the Republicans wanna cut Medicaid, as an example, by $772 billion, according to the last Senate proposal, which Trump loves. Okay, let's cut all your Medicaid in West Virginia, and all of a sudden, a third of the state has no health insurance. And then you take away food stamps from West Virginia. Do you have any idea the kind of devastation you would have? You know where West Virginia ranks in economic well-being? They rank 48th in median income. There's only 50 states. So, but Democrats won't do it, and I'm not saying they should, by the way.
No.
I'm also a progressive. I would never want to do that to West Virginia. Never, right? Because we actually care about you guys. So the Republicans are willing to do it to you and then cover up for it. But the Democrats will fight tooth and nail, some of them, not all of them, but will fight tooth and nail to make sure that doesn't happen to West Virginia. But if they once just said, all right, have at it, Hoss. You want Republicans, you want their policies, here's their policies, go ahead, right? And so, and I know the Republicans would have a whole new set of lies about that. But The reality is that they have, as you can tell from Steve King, if you're someone who is relying on food stamps because your family's run on hard times, you think this guy's got your back, you gotta be out of your mind to think that.
Right.
He can't wait to cut the money that your family relies on so he can give even more tax cuts to the rich.
All right, there's a second part to this that I actually do want to get to because it's just, it's so maddening and it's just gratuitous. So while Steve King was speaking to Allison Camerota on CNN, the issue of the border wall and how we're going to pay for it came up, and he believes that we should take money away from food stamps and also from Planned Parenthood to help fund the stupid border wall, right? Okay, well, he also decided to pick on Michelle Obama and her initiative when the Obama administration was in office. She just wanted to ensure that school lunches were healthier, right? Let's have better standards for school lunches so we can tackle the obesity epidemic. Well, here's his reaction in response to all of that in the context of the border wall conversation.
We built the program because to solve the problem of malnutrition in America. Mm-hmm. And now we have a problem of obesity. And when you match up the EBT card with the what the scales say on some of the folks, I think it's worth looking at. Michelle Obama looked at it. Republicans should be able to look at it too.
Okay. He's just so incredibly ignorant, right? Like he knows nothing about why the obesity epidemic is a problem. It's not because people are getting fat off food stamps. The more poor you are, the less likely you have access or the ability to afford healthier foods, right? That obviously keep you healthier, help you keep a healthier body weight. I mean, it's just, look, the reason why a lot of people living in poverty are more likely to be overweight or obese is because they end up spending what little money they have on cheap, quick foods, right?
Cheap fast food, cheap junk food. When you could barely survive and you need food stamps to be able to eat, you're not worried about organic produce.
Yeah, you're not buying grass-fed beef.
You're not going to Whole Foods. Okay, that's not what's happening. The average income of a household on food stamps is less than $10,000 a year. These guys are always talking about like, oh, they got cell phones, which you made that up. You have no idea what kind of phones they have or don't have. Eisenbaum once said they have refrigerators. Mm. Like apparently that's like a crime to have a refrigerator, right? So no, the reality is if they're poor, they're making less than $10,000 a year. And ironically, yes, when you eat those cheap processed foods, you do gain weight. Now, you want to know the real reason why? Because of high fructose corn syrup that we've put in all that food. And why did we put high fructose corn syrup? Because it's so cheap. Why is that? Because corn has a gigantic subsidy. Now, who pushes for that corn subsidy? Legislators from Iowa like Steve King. Hmm. That's crony capitalism. That's what makes us obese as a country, far more obese than any other country, because we have so much more high fructose corn syrup in our food. And ironically, that's because of Steve King.
Yeah. Oh, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, someone in Oregon is found committing a hate crime and seems apologetic about it.
Will I accept his apology? Okay, lots of twists and turns in the next segment. And then that whole conservative jank also in a minute. Back on the Young Turks. Your mama writes in, you're a pirate bitch, needs to go on the sideboard. Too late.
You're a pirate bitch.
And let's say this is underestimated.
You're a bitch.
Yeah. That'll go in a Ted Cruz clip one day. Okay. Anyway, Daniel Pareja writes in, you can't allow sleeveless dresses in Congress. When Mike Pence visits without his wife, he'll be too tempted to stare. Oh. Speaking of which, Mike Pence.
You're a bitch.
I can't go to a dinner without my wife? All right, anyway, okay.
You guys are way too judgy on that.
No, it's true. Come on, no.
You're a pirate, bitch.
Okay, so Control Left writes in, Congress infringing on a woman's right to bear arms, sad, but you don't
Second
get credit.
Second Amendment, come on.
I know, but you don't get credit for that control left, because that was our graphic the other day when we covered it. So anyways, okay guys, two things real quick. One is Politicon. Anna's debating Ann Coulter. I will be debating Ben Shapiro. And Haas is debating a guy, I think his name is Kirk, James T. Kirk, I think. James Tiberius Kirk. No.
Kirk is in the name somewhere.
Kirk is in the name.
Yeah.
Okay, Woke Bay versus Sleepy Bay. and we're also doing a bunch of panels. Do the Democrats have the right strategy? I'm on that panel.
Ooh.
Along with some establishment folks.
Ooh.
And a Bernie Sanders supporter. So Simone Sanders, if you remember her from the Bernie campaign. So that's going to be a badass panel, and that's a little bit of ooh-wah, Sinkerlan. Okay.
I'm getting tweets from people who are like, oh, Ann Coulter is going to annihilate Anna. And I'm just praying that she's also underestimating me.
Yeah, yeah. So
Underestimate me, please.
Yeah. So I've been told that I shouldn't bother to show up. Anyways, if you want to show up, it's in Pasadena. So politicon.com/TYT, politicon.com/TYT to get tickets. And we got Aggressive Progressive tonight. So for all you members out there, look, if you always want to watch Aggressive Progressive, but you can only watch the first live free one at 9 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays, well, good news for you, sign up for membership. It's free this month. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and then put in the promo code FREETYT. Not only can you get this week's Aggressive Progressive show, the whole show, you can go back in the archives and watch the other ones. Mm-hmm. So you're crazy if you don't take this off.
Excuse me.
For a whole $0.00. Okay, what's next, Anna?
All right. A man in Portland, Oregon was arrested and charged with a hate crime. His name is Frederick Nolan Sorrell, and he allegedly harassed a Muslim couple from his car for more than 20 blocks, during which time he allegedly made multiple attempts to strike the victim's vehicle. He also made pointing hand gestures that were said to be resembling pulling the trigger of a gun, and shouted things like, take off your effing burqa, this is America, and go back to your effing country. Excuse me. Now, he did get arrested, and there was a local news station, KGW, it's a TV station in Portland, that caught up with him right after his arraignment and asked him a few questions. And he seems somewhat remorseful. Take a look.
I never tried to run into them. I was just going to work. I never tried to follow them. I never tried to make contact with them after the fact.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No. There's no way. That was way too funny. So look, I think his apology was heartfelt because of some other quotes that
yeah.
But I'm so glad that at station, we'll put the link up to their whole report in the description box, caught up with him, because that shit was funny.
It was funny.
Because, and I'll tell you why, because at the moment he's a tough guy, okay? Like, oh, you burqa, can you go up to your country? And then when he realizes, oh, running them off the road is illegal and I might go to jail, but so the next time somebody's a tough guy, remember that face.
So he contradicted himself while he was talking to the television station, because in that video, obviously he's kind of denying guilt. However, he later on said this, I guess my fear and paranoia, I just yelled out. I don't go on social media looking to hate on people. I guess my ignorance and my stupidity is why I opened my mouth, and I shouldn't have, and I claim full responsibility.
So that's a great apology.
Yeah, it is. And
so he's not rich. Some PR person didn't write that apology for him. That was real. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm getting suckered by it, and then if he doesn't get jail time, he's back out to yelling at Muslims or whatever. But that to me felt like, man, that was so stupid, and I am beginning to realize why that was so ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe through this experience, we don't know enough, but that apology and all the other things I read about him made me believe that maybe this experience made him realize, oh, right, the Americans, like everybody else, that was so stupid of me. Why did I get wrapped up in that moment of hatred. But look, in Oregon and of course everywhere, but you got to take it super seriously. He did that just a couple of days after that guy stabbed a couple of people for defending Muslims.
Yes, a man so on guy. Public transportation stabbed and killed two individuals that were speaking up and protecting a Muslim woman on the train. So yeah. That was a really dumb thing for Sorrell to do. And look, I'm glad he's remorseful. And I feel a little bad laughing at the fact that he was crying like that. But I mean,
yeah. And that's good enough justice because he's got to live with that. And he said, I'm sorry I blurted out what I blurted out, my paranoia, my fear. And so that to me seems like a real recognition of what he was doing wrong. Now, I'm not the judge and jury in Oregon, and they'll decide what to do with him. And it is pretty serious if he was trying to run him off the road, and that could have a lot of consequences. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think he learned from it. And if we all have conversations around these things and we all learn from it, and as a country we grow from it, that's not such a bad thing.
Do you think he learned from it?
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I might be wrong, but that's the sense I got.
Like for him, that's one of those things, like I hear your apology was sincere. He has to tell people what he learned in order for me to believe that he learned. People don't understand what it is. So yeah, it was my fear and paranoia. And now I believe or I feel this. It's like you learn all this stuff when your kid is 5 years old and goes to school and they have like conflict issues and they go, okay, I'm sorry. You can't just say I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? What'd you do? What are you gonna do next time? Just give me those three things. Treat you like a 5 year old since you're gonna act like a 5 year old crying like that. So tell me, what'd you do wrong? What caused you to do it? And what's gonna make you not do that anymore? How did those people feel? He hasn't mentioned yet how he made those people feel. Were they crying? Were they afraid for their lives? I don't know. I don't really give a shit because I was just having my fear and paranoia. Is your fear and paranoia still there? Is it gone yet? Because it's gonna flame back up again, maybe when you have a drink, like Shia LaBeouf.
So we don't know. It's too hard to tell. But boy, wouldn't it be fun if we were actually the jury.
All right, we gotta move on to the next story.
Okay, no, skateboarders, we're not gonna have enough time for.
No,
I wanna do it afterwards. Let's
no,
do
no,
the
No, no,
the
no, we'll have time, we'll have time. What do you mean? Let's not ramble.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Okay, let's do it. Skateboarders got together for an informal competition recently, and this took place at Dolores Park. At that point, cops alleged that people living in the neighborhood called the police because they were blocking the streets, making a lot of noise and being disruptive. At that point, several police officials showed up and things started to get pretty bad. At this point, there were reports that some of the skateboarders were annoyed that the cops were blocking off the street and not allowing them to compete with one another. The skateboarders did not have a permit for this competition, thus making it informal. And so now there are videos circulating around the internet showing how one skateboarder was going down the hill and how a cop might have intentionally purposely gotten in the way so he would fall and hurt himself. Now, I'm gonna let you guys judge for yourselves. We have the video, take a look. Oh.
Okay, so one part of the story I think is, it's too much to say obvious, but so there's two parts. The kids are trying to ride through these cop cars that have blocked the street because they can't get them off the street, so they're trying to block the street so they won't keep skating. Three skateboarders have already gone through that little hole between the cars. Everybody's having fun, they're like, yeah, and then they're all trying to defy the cops by going through there. So this cop gets in the middle of that, and in that video, you can see he throws a shoulder, right? That's my assessment. We'll see what you guys think. And don't throw a shoulder at the kid because he's gonna go flying like he did. He could have gotten really, really, really hurt. As it was, he was pretty hurt.
Right.
So that part is pretty obvious. But the part to me that's a little bit more suspect, and then some of you guys are gonna hate me for this, but so they were doing hill bombing, and so they go down the huge hills in San Francisco as fast as they can. And then a lot of them crash, of course. And then you have to call ambulances. And that happened actually repeatedly when this incident was going down. And they called an ambulance for that kid, but they called an ambulance for a couple other kids because they go all the way down the hill and they crash. And they're like, okay, now I'm going to need taxpayer dollars to bail me out because I was so stupid that I went down this hill at this speed and I made a mess of it. And so, look, am I the kind of guy who wants to overregulate skateboarders? No, they showed up without permits. Dude, skateboarders aren't going to get permits. I'm fine with, of course, that's totally fine, right? And I'm trying not to be too much of a grandpa, but on the other hand, skateboarders are sometimes total dicks. So they jump in front of your car and then they look at you like until somebody runs you over and then it's not ha 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 anymore. So, and then what do? Then they go from like ha 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 to oh my god, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know what really grinds my gears? Those skateboarders, yes, and those cyclists.
Yes, yes, drop it. Have, it's in a poll we have too, though, is should the skateboarders have been fined? Because it's not an interesting question, should the cop have clotheslined the dude? He didn't clothesline him, but he bumped him enough. Mm-hmm. No, of course he shouldn't have done that, right? And should they get a permit? No, dude, I'm not gonna get a permit every time you want to go skateboarding, right? But if the neighbor said, we cannot use the street, they keep going up and down the street. We're afraid that if we go on the street, we're gonna hit them. Mm-hmm. So they're going for hours and hours and hours. Can you guys help us? So the cops come, they didn't arrest anybody, but I'm not saying put them in jail, that's crazy. But I would fine them.
You'd fine them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I wish I knew. Look, if what the neighbors were saying is true, right? Because keep in mind, the cops are saying the neighbors called us and that's why we showed up. If what the neighbors are saying is true and what the cops are saying is true, then yes, I agree with you, they should be fined because you can't block roads like that, right? Especially just for fun and games. I guess I agree with you, sure.
Interesting. All right, guys, serious audience, we're gonna get cut off here and I love you guys. But no, we're gonna keep going because the Supreme Court's not done, okay? So serious, love you, see you tomorrow. Like the young Kasparov. Trust me, you don't want. All right, sorry guys, for technical reasons, we had to go out for a second before we came back. But let's pick it up where we were. And can you put the graphic back up too? And do you have the poll, Anna? I don't think I have the poll. Oh, here it is. Okay, good. All right. So I say they should be fined. By the way, we want your answer to tytnetwork.com/skateboard. Should the San Francisco cops have fined the skateboarders? By the way, here I'm being more draconian than the cops because the cops did not fine them, did not arrest them, did not do anything except for the fact that they shouldered them into oblivion. Okay, so except for that giant exception. So JR, curious what your take on it is.
Well, fines come from people doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. If they're riding down the middle of the street, you're going to get fines in general for that because you probably can't do that. I'm assuming that's somewhere on the books. So fining is probably something that could already happen. I don't like these things, but I think it may help. Whatever the equivalent of this is, like, you know, also skaters put like the wax on the sides of like stoops, maybe benches and stuff like that, and they can slide, and it really ruins everything.
Yep.
That you're looking at. It's a big black streak of like tar or whatever it looks like, wax. And then so instead to stop that, they put these little bumps along like a thing that they would slide on. You can't slide across something that has a bunch of speed bumps on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know the equivalent of this, but if they're starting to get improper people shooting down these hills and killing themselves, because they're going to eventually, I don't know what it is you put where skaters can't do it anymore. Because finding them, first off, once you do find them, looked like there was 50 of them out there, right? They're not all going to pay the fine. They probably can't pay the fine, and then they'll just do it the next day.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the case. So, by the way, by the end there was 400 of them out there.
Yeah. Oh.
And so, I could be totally wrong about this, and I'm sure that it's a mix. But I feel like some of the skate guys are come from wealthy families, and they're like, there's no consequences. You know, like. I own the world, so I go down your hill anytime you like. And I don't give a damn, right?
Not that they're poor, just like they won't pay the fine, or they'll be like, oh,
no, their fine. Dad's gonna pay the
or
fine.
Or it's not gonna be deterrent, right? Is the point. Like whoever, even if it gets paid, it's not. They're not gonna go, I'm gonna stop doing that. I got a $50 fine.
You know, yeah, that's a good point. Fines aren't usually a deterrent.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, but look, or maybe you're a kid and $50 is a lot. $500 is an unbelievable amount, right? And so I'm positive that some of them are poor, middle class, etc. And I don't want to devastate the guys that are not in good economic condition in the first place. On the other hand, like their attitude of I don't care about anybody else as long as I'm having fun is super annoying to me.
Yeah, just wait until you're an adult. You never get to have fun.
What is the thing? And also, I assume some of these guys are probably of age. I'm sure plenty of these guys are over 18 years old. So we call them kids, but they're probably. Yeah.
It's almost the thing that bothers me is that it's almost a Republican attitude. Like, I have no empathy for you. I have no empathy for anybody on the street. I have no empathy for anyone else. Hey, man, it reminds me of Turkish traffic where everyone believes that they own the road.
Yeah.
It's their road. Everybody else is on there for reasons they can't understand.
Well, Turks feel like they own everything, so.
Well, that's a whole other thing. All right, now normally, this is really unfair, because normally we go to Chief Justice Jesus Godoy, who is a skateboarder, and he'd regulate on our ass. He's not here today, Jacori's here. Jacori, you're filling in for the Chief Justice.
Indeed.
So what
Chief
say
Justice
you?
Chief Justice Jr. I agree. It's a violation of traffic. It's something that interrupts the flow of things. I totally get that. You don't throw people into cars, man. Come on. You're there to protect safety. JR brought up a really good point of there's speed bumps. That's something that you could install. Because it's
they'll jump the bumps.
That's not at those speeds. That's not something you can really just jump over. And I think that would just cause general safety overall. Because I agree, the fines, you can fine what? How many max before the rest of them get away? And then they're back the next day. That's going to deter one, two of them of all economic standings all over the spectrum, you know? It's not going to stop the real problem.
Yeah, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Both of you guys do that. Makes me reconsider it a little bit. Because in order to give somebody a fine, you have to get them to stop for a second and write out the fine, and they're not gonna stop, and they're gonna chase them down, and then there's gonna be beatings. Just keep it real, and somebody's gonna get their skateboard broken over their heads. So anyway, nonetheless.
This is a war that's been going on for about
forever.
What?
Yeah.
For like 60 years now, at least, since skateboards were first invented. It's not something that's ever gonna go away. You live in San Francisco with huge hills, it's kind of something you have to look out for. There are plenty of look out for kids signs. Kids kind of make idiotic moves sometimes. You gotta be aware of what
kids.
You're doing when you're operating a vehicle that can take out a pedestrian. You live in a hilly city, there are gonna be people on skateboards, there are gonna be people on bikes. I always say that I do BMX and it's a similar hobby. I always say that I'm safer on my bike than a 40-year-old woman that just got a new bike and is riding for the first time. There are all sorts of people over the road with all different abilities of riding, and they're honestly people that are a danger to themselves already. That's kind of a risk of being on the road. Everyone's all over the spectrum of ability. So it's drive safely, drive defensively, and look out for pedestrians.
Yeah, these are reasonable points. I'm still voting for a fine. No, because there's got to be some consequence. If there's no consequence at all, they're like, okay, screw you, I can do whatever I want. By the way, the pendulum swung too far. In the past, there'd be draconian punishments on skateboard. This skateboard, he's not allowed anywhere. We hate you skateboarders. It's like, calm down, dude. Let him skateboard in the park and have some fun. And it's okay. And they do that crazy stuff that I'd never do. And they break their ankles. And that's a sad day for them. I'm just saying that once you're like endangering other people, yes, I find you.
Did anybody else get hurt? Or is it just the skaters that are falling off their boards off these hills?
No, only in this particular case, as far as we know, only the skaters got hurt. Mm-hmm. But imagine if the neighbors were like, okay, then screw it, I'm driving on the street. Then a lot of people could have gotten hurt. So, okay, I'm voting yes on a fine. What do you vote?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna work, but sure.
Okay, we got two votes. What do you, JR?
No.
No. Jacori?
I'm voting no.
All right, 2-2, jury of your peers. So that goes to you guys. You'll be the tiebreakers. Should San Francisco cops have fined the skateboarders? TYTnetwork.com/skateboard, okay? You will be the ultimate judge of this. And for the last time, because I know that you guys are all gonna yell at me for the wrong things, the cops should not have put a shoulder into that kid, okay? All right, guys, much love. We do have a post game for you guys, and then aggressive progressive. Bye-bye.